Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
Isaac Rosa, if you could welcome him to the stage with me.
Hello. How are we doing tonight? Good. So tonight we're going to do things a little differently, right? So we are currently going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And so we are going to take a pause, just a 1 week pause from that, because we just came out of one of the most monumental chapters in the Bible, which is famously known as the love chapter. If you weren't here last week, I highly encourage you guys to listen to that podcast or on our app, where Pastor Bill just unpacked 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it was awesome. Who's there that week? Good stuff, right? Really, really good stuff. And so we're just kind of coming off of that, and we just felt like, hey, let's just kind of marinate there. Let's just talk about what it really means to love and what love is. And so if you guys can turn, so this is kind of, instead of it being a 35-minute message, it's going to be a 10 to 15-minute Devo. And we're going to just set apart some time for us to kind of get to know one another, right? And so we're so good at teaching and doing Bible studies. We can go to Bible studies every day of the week, right? But we can't fellowship, we can't commune and just really go further than, hey, how are you? How was your day? What do you do? I just met Kathy back there who works in an IT, and I went through like the regular list. I went through like, you know, what do you do? Are you from here? And so we didn't kind of want to do that. I know we can kind of get in the routine of just going through the mundane sort of questions. And so we're going to set aside some time, about like 15 to 20 minutes, where we can just fellowship and get together. So you guys ready for that? And so turn to John chapter 13, verse 34. I'm going to read it, then I'm going to pray, and then we will get after it. And for every of you guys that know me, to keep a Devo to 10 minutes is going to be a miracle. So pray for me, please. All right. So John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. This is God's word. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I pray, I ask that you help us tonight, that you help us to glean and to get a hold of just the wonderful, simple, so deep, so profound truth that you love us, God. Lord, and you not only just said that you loved us, Lord, you actually proved it and you did something about that. And so, Father, thank you so much for that unconditional, self-sacrificial love that you have given us and that you've shown through your Son, Jesus. So, Father, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth be consistent with your character, Lord, according to your word. And Holy Spirit, may you just help us. Help us here tonight, Lord. Help me to communicate what you'd like to communicate to your people. Help us now, Lord. We love you. And God's family says, amen. Amen. And so, as you guys know, we are currently going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and last week we hit on something that is non-negotiable when it comes to our relationship and journey with Jesus. You guys remember what that was? A topic? What topic did we cover last week? Love, right? That is why when you and I respond to that love, God respond to that love. And what Jesus did for you and me, we naturally begin to be nice. We naturally begin to be, you know, more patient. When we encounter God, when we surrender our whole lives to God, God does something in us. And if that's not happening, then there's probably something wrong. And I always like to give the train illustration, right? Has anyone met anyone here that has been hit by a train? No? Have you? That'd be really weird if you did. If you met someone that got hit by a train, because there's going to be something different about that person. When you get hit by a train, there's going to be something different about that person, mainly that they're dead. And when we come in contact with a living God, when we surrender our lives to Jesus, there is something different. There is something different about you. And that's why in the first verse of chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or clanging cymbals, meaning that we become annoying, a loud clanging cymbal. The group of Christians there in Corinth had their priorities all mixed up. They were more concerned about sounding smart and looking spiritual. And guys, we could too get all of our priorities mixed up. When we focus on what we do for God and how we look doing it, if it consumes the way we live, then there's something wrong. So, but before I unpack what God's view of love is, I want to make sure we are all kind of starting off on the same page, okay? So unfortunately, when we hear certain words that culture has perverted to mean something else, we can get wrong ideas of what God is. And so, for example, sex. When we think of sex, we think of taboo. Oh, he said sex in church. That's really awkward. Or we hear words like submission. We immediately think like a domineering, angry boss, guy doesn't like his job, and so he's making my life impossible type of feelings when we think of the word submission. And so the term that I hope, I hope that I can redeem for us tonight, the word that has also been very perverted in our culture, and that word is love. So because of movies like The Notebook, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, and many, many more, love has been perverted to mean something very selfish, something broken down to like a feeling, the feeling you get when he opens a car door for you. This is what our culture preaches to us in every chick flick or sex scene that we see. And so if you're in here tonight hating the fact that it's Valentine's Day because you have no one to quote unquote love you, can you please realize that there was someone who is so madly cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs in love with you here tonight? And the way this man loves you is very, very, very different. So let's see what he says here in John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So there's so much awesomeness going on here in chapter 13, but there's two phrases that I want us to focus on. If you have your Bible, circle, highlight this one, or these phrases, because they're going to be very important for our time here tonight. So the two phrases are a new commandment and as I have loved you. So a new commandment as I have loved you. Now, I have a question for us to consider. What's so new about this commandment? Have you ever thought about that? Like, a new commandment I give to you. This is Jesus saying this. And so we know that there's a lot of commandments in the Old Testament. There's certainly a lot of commandments in the Gospels. And so what's so new about this commandment? What's so new about this commandment? So before I unpack that, I want to kind of lay the foundation of the fact that this is a command. If you call yourself a Christian in here today, if you are born again, if you follow Jesus, madly in love with Jesus, guys, this isn't something you can just leave at the table. This is a non-negotiable for the Christian in here tonight. And so I want to lay that groundwork down, is that this is a command from Jesus himself. And so again, what is so new about this commandment? And so we get the answer in the second phrase I asked you guys to circle. And so kind of a rule of thumb when it comes to answering questions in the Bible, like when you read something and you have a question about it, it's really good to like read around the verse, either the chapter before or within the same chapter or the chapter after it. You're usually going to get the answer to your question there. And so because, like I said, there's so much awesomeness in this chapter, I want to turn your guys' attention to verse 1 to help us answer what's the newness all about of this commandment. So chapter 13, John 13, verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them." Jesus loved them to the end. Fast forward all the way down to verse 4 and 5, and I'll read it there. "He rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded." Okay, and so here we see Jesus kind of rolling up his sleeves and getting his hands dirty, right? So I want you guys to note that. Let's read verse 12. "And so when he had washed," all the way from verse 12 to 17. "So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should," pay attention, this is going to sound really familiar, "as I have done to you," verse 16, "most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." And so do you guys see why it is a new commandment? Why he's pointing to the fact saying, hey, this is something I haven't said before, is because Jesus in the earlier chapter modeled this to his disciples. And that's so beautiful, because before I even unpack what love is, I want to start off with the fact that if we're going to look at the standard of that word, we're going to look at Jesus himself. What did Jesus do himself as an example to show us how much he loved us? Well, primarily, what was it? What was that? He died on the cross. He himself. And he rose himself from the dead. He himself modeled perfect love for you and me. And I thought that is so beautiful, because before God commands us to do anything, I love the fact that homie's got street cred to back it up. That Jesus has street cred to back up the fact that he's saying, hey, I'm calling you to love this way. This is how I model it. And so for the Christian, you and I here can say, man, God, you have loved us so much. That unconditional, the unmerited type of love that is so hard to do. That's why even here in the church, why there's so much divorce as Christians in the church. I'm not even talking outside the church. In the church. Why is there so much divorce? Is because, right, we can love up to a certain point, or when we committed to someone, we weren't putting it up to the standard of the way that Jesus loved you and me. And so again, kind of going back to verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." So if you're in here, you're like, what are you talking about? And so kind of like how I alluded to this in the beginning of our time here, we want to grow in our relational experience of what it means to love one another. And the only way you know how to do that is when you talk to people, right? If all you do is read and if all you do is study and you don't encounter people, you run the high risk of becoming a weird, creepy guy. It's interaction with people that you get to grow and mature your faith with God, right? What is the two greatest commandments? Who knows the two greatest? With all your love, with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And so, guys, if I have a feeling most of us in here kind of know, you know, yeah, I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to love the guy that's next to me. And yeah, I'll hear, I'll ask him a couple of questions and go beyond that. But kind of the exhortation here tonight is, man, there is so much. Just got to meet a brother here today man, just to hear what God has done in and through his life, it was like, it just resonated in my soul. It connected me to this brother right here in such a way that I was like, man, God is working in his life. And guys, and so, like I said, this is going to be really short. And so we're going to just meditate on the truth of the fact that God loves us a whole bunch. Amen? And out of that love, we're going to spend some time together with us. We're going to spend some time together just getting to know one another for, you know, however much longer we have in this service. And so before I kind of said, oh, hey, love one another and meet one another, I wanted to first kind of put it in perspective and say, guys, for us to really understand what it is to fellowship, what it is to get to know someone, it is so important to know, man, how God modeled that for us. It is because God modeled that for you and me that we can have uncomfortable conversations, that we can ask or speak truth into the life of a person. And so as the worship team kind of gets back up here, we're just going to, all I want us to do here, there's going to be three songs of worship that we're going to sing. During these three songs, I just want us to really meditate on the love of God. If you have a hard time realizing the fact that God loves you, he does. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've come out of. God loves you. And you have an opportunity to respond to that here tonight. So for these three songs, I want us to meditate, marinate in that. And guys, then afterwards, again, if you feel led to, just as by way of exhortation, share with someone in here like how God brought you to this point. All of us in here have a story. All of us in here have been saved by, or at least most of us in here, I'm not going to make that assumption. Most of us in here, God pulled out of the miry muck. Disgusting, man. If you know anything about, at least talking about myself, God, man, he really does love sinners. He really does love sinners. I think about, when I think about the unconditional love of God, I think about my mom, who growing up was rebellious my whole life, would verbally, sometimes even physically abuse my mom just because she didn't let me. My mom's Mexican, kind of crazy, so she wouldn't let me know or let me do what I wanted to do as a teenager and in college. And so her and I butted heads a lot and got to a point where I moved out of my house at 17 years old, and I only found out about this when I came back to the Lord. My brother told me this, is that my mom would wake up everyone in the house by how loud she was crying and praying for me in the living room. And so when I think about the unconditional love of God, God gave me a really cool and personal example of my mother. And to know that, man, she loves me still, even through that, and didn't talk with her for almost 3 years. And then when I stopped running away, when I stopped being disobedient to God's call on my life, she was right there with open arms, welcoming me back into her life and into her home. So I know you have a story like that. I know that God has given you a personal story that he wants you to share with someone here tonight. So let's meditate. Again, let's share what God has done in and through our lives in here tonight. Amen? Let's pray. Father, you are so good. You love in a way that is so far outside our ability. We really can't love the way you can. But we can ask. But we can pray and we can seek and we can grow and we can ask, Lord. And so we ask, Father, please, may you help us to just get a biblical, proper understanding of what it means to love, what it means to be loved, what it means to be loved by the creator of this world. That he loved us so much that he made, that he bridged that gap that we had between us and God. Him having to die in our place for our sins, the death and the wrath that we deserve. Father, you paid for that. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for doing that, Lord. It's crazy to think that you still love us and you continue to mold us into the image of your Son. So, Father, we love you. Give this time to you. Amen. Love you guys.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door.